96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Bike lanes or parking spaces, that's one of the issues the D.C. government it has to deal with as it adds more bike lanes around the city. Bicyclists say the new lanes are a welcome safety addition to D.C.'s busy roads. But for some longtime residents, bike lanes are a nuisance and, in some cases, an infringement on parking. Well, joining me to talk about this are Greg Billing, Executive Director of the Washington Area Bicyclists Association, and James Sebastian with the D.C. Department of Transportation. Lines are open. Give us a call if you have a comment or a question about this issue at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Now, we were hoping to speak to a representative from the United House of Prayer, which has a large stake in this discussion, but a representative of the church indicated they did not want to discuss the issue on the air. However, we will move forward and continue to discuss it. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me in this conversation.
Thanks so much for having us.
Okay, let me start with you, Greg. What's your argument for more bike lanes in the city?
Well, that's a great question. We have some serious issues in our community. Traffic. If you drive, I have a car. I live in Petworth. I get around by car and my motorcycle. Traffic is a huge issue in our community. We have a safety issue. 25, 26 of our residents every year are killed on our streets walking, biking, or driving. Most of the deaths on our streets are drivers and pedestrians. And we have a parking issue. So how do we kind of address some of these major issues in our city? By getting people out walking, getting people on transit, and if they choose so, to bike. And I think that that's what we're really talking about here is how to give people a choice so that they feel safe and comfortable using the streets to get around in any way that they choose.
James, can you kind of give me a short explanation of what the city's plan for more bike lanes is? This is not a Muriel Bowser issue. This issue has been around for many, many administrations. It goes back at least to the Williams administration and maybe even before.
That's correct. We've been working on bike lanes for a long time now. We've put in about 70 miles in the last 15 years, and it's been helpful in really increasing the number of cyclists and the safety of cyclists in the city. We found it really activates the street. It gives people another alternative for getting around. So, we've had plans. We had a 2005 plan, and we've just updated our plan.
Okay. So let me talk about the issue. And I did mention the United House of Prayer, but this isn't just about the United House of Prayer. There are long-time residents in this city that are approaching this with a great deal of consternation. And certainly there was a large meeting in Shaw some 2 weeks ago that was angry. It was heated, to describe it mildly, where churches are concerned about losing parking spaces to bicycle lanes. What would the law be if a bicycle lane is added in front of a church where they're used to parking diagonally for years?
Well, we don't really know yet. We're looking at a number of different alternatives on several different streets. So, you know, in an ideal world, we can minimize the impact on parking as we plan and design these bike lanes. And so that meeting gave us an opportunity to hear from everyone about their concerns, whether it be parking or traffic or a number of others.
But suffice it to say, and this is for both of you, as a native Washingtonian, born here and raised in this area for a long time, it's one thing if bike lanes, for example, are down on Connecticut Avenue. It's one thing perhaps if they're on Independence Avenue where the streets are wide. But when you're talking about, like you mentioned, where you live, Petworth, where these communities, where these streets are already narrow without bike lanes and cars, how can you argue that you need bike lanes there?
Sure. That's a great question. We're really blessed in this city to have the L'Enfant plan. We have great avenues, Independence, Connecticut, Mass. These are large streets, and we certainly need to be looking at safety on those streets as well. You know, DDOT and the city is looking at an entire corridor from 5th Street all the way to 9th and examining all the different streets and opportunities there. You know, we have longtime residents. The Washington Area Bicyclists Association is well into its middle age. We're 43 years old as an organization. And so, you know, we have residents that are members and have been here for a very long time. One of our board members actually lives on 5th Street Northwest. And he actually rides down 5th Street in the wrong direction. There's a bike lane on that street because some of the other streets in that area don't feel safe to ride on. And to put bike lanes potentially on 5th Street would require a significant impact to parking because it is a narrow street. That's why looking at some of the wider streets that we do have, you know, 14th Street's a wide street, 9th Street's a wide street, 6th Street is actually a much wider street. There is a way to potentially accommodate more users of the road, more people walking, more people biking, and potentially keep the majority of the regular parallel parking and potentially the Sunday parking as well.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the issue of new bike lanes in the District of Columbia. Who has the right of way on this issue? Some of the longtime residents that are objecting to it, or those bike riders who feel that it is a critical safety issue. Give me a call. Patricia, calling from Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, I do have a concern about this, too. I think they are taking up a lot of the parking spaces around the district. I noticed on First Street Northeast, they put not only a bike lane, but they also put a median to separate that bike lane from the actual, you know, ongoing traffic along that particular street. And that takes up a lot of space as well. It takes up a lot of space from the vehicles, and a lot of times vehicles have a hard time trying to pass each other because on the other side of the street, you do have vehicles that can park. So it just makes it very congested, you know. And another issue that I have, and I wish the D.C. will put some rules and regulations in place, is that a lot of times if I get to a stop sign and I'm approaching an intersection, you don't see bike riders coming towards you in the opposite directions, and they just dart out into the roadway and, you know, cut you off.
Well, that hold on, Patricia, and certainly these are two separate issues when you're talking about road etiquette by the bike riders and what the district has done and plans to do. So let me first have Mr. Sebastian address the issue of those medians and the like. Go ahead.
Yeah, First Street is an example of a protected bike lane, and we've gotten a lot of we've had a lot of success with lanes like that because they do separate the bikes from the cars. They do take up space in that case that could be used as a parking space, but we've got a lot of bicycles moving through there. It's mainly a commercial downtown area. It's not taking up residential parking, and it's been super successful. It's a branch, basically, of the Metropolitan Branch Trail, so people are coming all the way down from Brookland onto First Street there. Congestion is an issue, and we certainly want to look at any particular operational issues on that bike lane or any bike lane, but at the end of the day, we're really bicycling is one of the solutions for all the congestion we're having.
Oh, thank you so much, Patricia. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Talking about bike lanes in the district. Angela, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Angela. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm going to try to stay focused on topic and avoid talking about safety, but maybe an alternative can be having certain restrictions during rush hour for cyclists or make accommodations for parking. I just think that, you know, the cyclist community attracts a certain economic class, and they are probably going to have a certain voice. I know there's been a lot of propaganda and promotion to talk about the cyclists getting what they want. And from someone who's lived in a very pro-cyclist city such as Seattle, and then coming back to the district, and I've seen the changes, the cyclist community is probably going to get what they want, but I think there are some compromises or some alternatives and restrictions that should be implemented just like they are for drivers.
Angela, before I have my guests address your comment, I will say, well, I've never lived in Seattle. I've visited there. Seattle is not D.C., I mean,
no, I know that.
I mean, not even when you're talking about the racial makeup, when you're talking about the economic class, it's very, very difficult to compare the two when you talk about getting what they want.
I lived in both cities, and I think I can say that because certain areas, and I just moved back. I just moved back last year from Seattle, and so I can say that because I have lived in both of these cities over the past 20 years. So I can say that I do know what I'm talking about. They may not have as many traffic circles, but it's old like the district, and it's very. They are very pro cyclists, and they got what they wanted.
That's my point, and I think there's a reality here, as we saw with the United House of Prayer, that that some would argue, Greg, that there is a racial element, and that's what I mean when I say Seattle is not D.C. Seattle has a black population of, what, 12%, 15% at the most?
Well, I said economics. I didn't say race.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
I did. And that's what I mean, because, like I'm saying, there is an element here, because, as you gentlemen know, that United House of Prayer meeting, that's a black church.
Yes.
And the people that were arguing for the bike lanes, most of them were not black. And suffice it to say, you know, there is a question about the overarching issue of gentrification and what happens when new people move into your community and begin to change things.
So I also think that I work in Ward 1, only in Ward 1. I'm a social worker in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I know that area very well, and I'm a geriatric social worker, so I work with the seniors, and they voice this out a lot, but I also think instead of just race, I think that money, that class plays a part in this.
Okay, well, Greg, your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of great pieces there to talk about. I think that the socioeconomic status of bicyclists is a great issue to talk about. Who do we think rides bikes? I think many people would think that they're mostly men and they're mostly rich. But the U.S. Census just came out with some data, and there was a great article just last week from Governing Magazine that said that 50% of cyclists, they make less than $25,000. So in a city where rent is extremely expensive and wages are low and the cost of living is very high, many of our neighbors, whether they are white, black, or Latino, are using bikes because they can't afford any other transportation mode. They can't afford metro. They can't take buses because they're not reliable. Or they work in jobs such as the service industry where they get out of work at 1 or 2 in the morning. So what we're used to seeing as bicyclists may not be actually all the people that use bike lanes. If you get out on some of the streets, Columbia Road and Adams Morgan at 2 in the morning, it's like a bike highway of people leaving their jobs. But
suffice it to say, like I said, as a D.C. resident, that is a new phenomenon. We'll talk about that after the break, because I've got to go to a break. Angela, thank you so much for calling in. If you're on the phone, Eric, Toya, Ann, stay on the line. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your phone calls and discussions about bike lanes in the district. We'll be back in a moment.